You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and in some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this.
This is June 14th, 2021. Once again, I am playing that clip of Mara Gay, the New York Times editorial board member, when she made a trip to Long Island. That was the weekend previously. She saw these pickup trucks. She saw the Trump flags on them. That already upset her. But then she said, as you heard, and then all these U.S. flags, these American flags, as if this is my country. I own it. I'm going to pound that into the ground because that's exactly right. This is our country, the U.S. of A. Doesn't mean she's not part of it. Doesn't mean you're not part of it. You don't have to be a particular color. You don't have to be a particular religion. You don't have to be even a political party member of either side to be an American. If you are here legally or were born here or through one of the other processes, that you can be a naturalized citizen. So we're going to see over the next few months, especially as we get closer to the midterm election, and certainly again when we get to the next presidential election, the replay, the rehash of the January 6th riot at the Capitol over and over again, which I've condemned repeatedly. I stand here and do it again. They were not patriots, were not acting the best way they should have. And some of them that were caught up in it just kind of got caught up. They weren't really doing anything. But it wasn't an insurrection, as they would have you believe. Insurrection is what we had in the streets all through the summer. Insurrection is trying to burn things down, attack police, kill any innocent person they find. Loot, burn, that was kind of an insurrection. But that wasn't even an insurrection to overthrow the government. We have an anti-American sentiment in this nation that continues to escalate. I want to point out something. At the G7 summit, every country leader is at the G7 summit for his country or her country, not for yours, not for us, unless they get something out of it. French President Macron is already saying, I want my immigrants to assimilate. He wants them to come into France and become French citizens. Like us, you can bring your religion, your cultures, that's fine, but don't come in to try to transform us. They've been fighting that in France, certain no-go areas, Muslim areas where they're not allowed to go and police are fearful to go. So, yeah, every leader is a nationalist. You better be if you're there to protect and stand up for your country and your people. But here we've taken that's a bad word to be a nationalist. We're going to be joined a little bit later by Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation, focusing on assimilation issues and how U.S. flags triggering fear are disturbing, and basically talking about the return of blame America first, as if it ever left. Democrats, maybe are they finally showing some backbone against Congresswoman Omar, comparing the U.S. to Hamas terrorists? And there's a twist in that story, and I can't make that up. I can't make up what's happened. I'll have that for you. Fred Flights, president of the Center for Security Policy. The Israeli Netanyahu leader is out after 12 years. Biden, of course, with world leaders. Biden has a 90-day intel study of COVID. Fred Flights says it's a farce. We're going to get into all of that for you. And also actor John Voight with a message about the leftist, the state-controlled media hypocrisy. You want to hear that message from John Voight. And I want to tell you what I put up on Facebook over the weekend, that I suddenly got a warning from Facebook. There was a word I used, and they said, you cross the line, and we might come after you the next time. What did I do? Oh, shoot, I can't say anything. I'll have to come back on that later. And then, do you know Christopher Sine? He's the reporter who broke the story about that meeting on the tarmac between President Clinton, former President Clinton, and A.G. Loretta Lynch at the time on that Phoenix tarmac while Hillary Clinton was under investigation. And they said, oh, we just sat and talked, and it was just coincidental that we got together. We talked about grandkids and so forth. That reporter is dead, 45 years of age. The official cause, would you believe it? Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think we can come together on what true infrastructure is, not wasteful spending, not the Green New Deal, not more green subsidies for the wealthy. I think we can arrive on true infrastructure. And I think the important thing here is don't fund infrastructure on the back of working families. President Biden's tax increases do exactly that, and they're just not needed. And it, the bottom line is, with these tax increases in there, America becomes a net loser. We actually lose jobs off of infrastructure, which makes no sense.
Makes no sense to lose jobs while we're trying to rebuild our infrastructure. In fact, it should be creating jobs. Those are the words of Congressman Kevin Brady, Republican of Texas, appearing on Fox over the weekend. Now, here's the point. Remember when Obama was pushing infrastructure changes? And we're going to have a lot of things that are going to be shovel-ready. And, of course, they weren't quite shovel-ready because there was really no effort to deliver. And he kind of joked about it, as if it's funny. Well, folks were looking for jobs. You're going to rebuild the infrastructure of this nation, be it highways, bridges, other parts that need full infrastructure redesign in some cases, much less rebuilding or repairing. That should create a lot of jobs. But as you heard Congressman Brady say, that's not what's going on here. Because Biden has tax increases that are going to fall right on the back of working families. And then with the tax increases, they're still going to lose jobs with the so-called infrastructure. Let me break it down for you. Joe Biden, one of the first things he did when he got in the White House, and we pointed out this numerous times, and you're certainly aware of it, but it bears repeating again. One of the first things he did was take pen in hand to satisfy the green crowd. He immediately struck down the Keystone XL pipeline. And about a week or so ago, the company realized, well, nothing's going to change. They just pulled everything. We still have pipes sitting out on the ground up and down some of that route. And it wasn't just the idea of putting the pipe in the ground. It was the businesses that would be associated with it as the workers moved through. Kind of like building a railroad as towns sprung up and they made money and then the railroad moved on and then they wait, of course, for the railroad to come. Now, in this case, the pipeline's already going to be there, so nobody's going to be coming to bring things on a constant basis through, but it would have been a boost at that time. Something like 11,000 to 12,000 additional jobs created off the pipeline in addition to the 1,000 he just suddenly wiped out. Because we're going to have a green infrastructure. That's what he really means by an infrastructure deal. We have seen, of course, this battle going back and forth between Republicans and Democrats now. Where do we stand on it? Well, first of all, there's still the dollar amount. And it's not just the dollar amount. It's how it's going to be spent. I'm looking at a piece written by Rick Newman for Yahoo News. Rick Newman does a lot of their financial reporting. This is Yahoo Finance. He starts it out this way. During the Trump presidency, Infrastructure Week became a running joke because there was never a coherent plan to match the periodic messaging campaigns. Okay, I see why he's saying that, where he's going. And then his next sentence, the Joe Biden equivalent is Bipartisanship Week. In other words, there's nothing going on. He's pointing out that Republicans and Democrats in the Senate are continuing negotiations again this week on this big spending package for roads and, of course, green energy and the other Biden priorities. 10 senators, 5 from each party, reportedly agreeing on a $1.2 trillion plan. Now trying to sell it to their colleagues. They need 60 votes required to overcome a filibuster. But some are saying right now that this is already doomed. Doomed. Talks between the White House and Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia broke down in early June. Both sides accusing the other of not paying attention and trying to get nothing but what they want. And again, Rick Newman in his piece for Yahoo Finance says that's the natural outcome when two parties fundamentally disagree. So one of the things he points out that I think is really good, he said one poison pill is a measure that would index the federal gas tax to inflation. Now he's suggesting, and it's could be considered a sensible idea Congress should have passed long ago. The gas tax been stuck at 18.4 cents per gallon since 93. Inflation eroding its ability raised the need the funding for highways. The problem is Biden, while campaigning for president, pledged there would be no tax hikes on any American earning less than $400,000. And of course, index a tax rate, I should say the gas tax to inflation, that would be a tax hike. Everybody knows that. And then I've got another input from Sean Zeller, writing for The Hill. He talks about how Biden has already taken his initial proposal at $2.3 trillion. Remember that number? Just forget it. He never should have even put it up on a board somewhere. But it was never going to fly. This $2.3 trillion, this was for infrastructure, you know, to build roads and bridges. But wait a minute. Also expand electric vehicle charging stations. And climate research and care for senior citizens. Well, I'm all about care for senior citizens, but it does not belong inside an infrastructure bill. And those other two green items, put them in your separate bill. If you believe in them so much, you should be able to get them through. They're trying to stick it on top of basically going in, dealing with our roads and bridges that are collapsing or near collapsing or becoming dangerous in some cases. See, both Republicans and Democrats agree we need an infrastructure bill. But how much, and is it going to go for what we want it and not all this green junk that they're trying to throw in? The roll call the other day suggests that they will pass an infrastructure bill. It's going to be closer to the $1 trillion plan that offered to the Republicans negotiator on June 2nd. That's half, more than half, or less than, about $2.3 trillion was the original, so $1 trillion. But I wouldn't hold on that number because things will shift. But 6 in 10 of the Democrat respondents on this roll call question said they expect Congress will pass a slightly scaled back bill. Slightly scaled back is not 2.3 to 1 trillion. And about half of the Republicans taking part in the survey said, yeah, Biden's going to get at least 1 trillion or something close to it. But also predicting it will probably be scaled back. Keep in mind, we're in this right now because Biden is in office, brought in large part with the progressives. And even some Democrats have since confirmed, I didn't think he was going to be so liberal. I just didn't think he was. Are you kidding me? Didn't you see who's behind him pulling all the strings? POTUS now, President of the United States. In my wording, POTUS now stands for puppet. POTUS, puppet on the unrelenting string, or words to that effect. And again, back to Congressman Brady. As he began to look at what's in play right now and where Biden has been and where he's going. Again, Congressman Brady, Republican of Texas.
I think people forget that President Biden, as candidate, repeatedly vowed repeal all of President Trump's and Republicans' tax cut. That is a major $2,000 a year tax increase on working families. Certainly, it makes America's businesses less competitive here and around the world, would what I think kill about 6 million jobs in America. But, of course, President Biden has already is well on his way to killing millions of jobs just because of his policy issues.
That's right. The policy issues are already killing jobs. So when I say POTUS, President of the United States, now stands for puppet on the unquestionable string, they've got him. They've got him tied up. They're pulling them, and he's dancing the dance they give him. And his mouth is moving, and the words come out that they want, hopefully. Of course, sometimes they're not so sure that's working out either. But here we have Biden from the very beginning coming in and killing jobs. And now, of course, he's over at the G7 summit, meeting all the world leaders, except for China. China's not invited to be part of it. And one of the things, you might find this very interesting, one of the things that he did not touch that Trump signed, and that was Trump's tariffs on aluminum and steel. Well, that frustrated the European Union when Trump did that in other countries as well in 2018. He put in a 25% tariff on steel, 10% tariff on aluminum imports. The aluminum industry even admits that's been great for us. It gave us about a 38% increase in primary aluminum smelting. In other words, great for America. Great for America, the USA. And the steel industry also says what Trump did by putting on those tariffs has helped us immensely. Well, reporters starting to question, especially those representing the European Union allies and reporting operations from there, are beginning to ask. In fact, one of them said, when are you going to have these conversations with Europeans who are very concerned about these sanctions? How do you justify it? In other words, how do you justify leaving those tariffs in place that Trump signed? Biden leaned in very close to the mic. 120 days. Give me a break. I need time. Didn't take him any time at all to kill the XL pipeline, did it? Did that immediately. And, of course, he's meeting with the EU leaders today. So I would not be surprised if he does not end up pulling that tariff off as well. Again, that's not going to help America. Listen, he's already had a lot of problems over there. He's constantly misstating things. He was referring to the global vaccine program as COVID, which is the coronavirus. He meant to refer to COVAX. COVAX is the international system, the global effort, the World Health Organization, to help developing countries get the vaccines, COVAX. But he said, hey, this COVID thing is good for us. No, they didn't want to hear that. And he also was talking about Libya and Syria, mistaking the two of them, talking about how he's going to be discussing Syria with Russian President Putin. And later the White House had to answer, did he mean to say Syria? Said, no, he meant, he did not mean that, that there's not a dilemma for Russia as it relates to Libya. He was referring to Syria, but he was talking about Libya. For example, in Libya, we need to open up passes. So, well, I'm going to talk to Putin about Libya. That's not what they wanted to hear either, because it was wrong. And then, of course, we had the blunder the other day, the fail of Vice President Harris. And even so, Democrats are worried, how competent is she? Oh, now you're asking. Now you're asking? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I mentioned it because I know Republicans have certainly come at you on this, but Democratic Congressman Cuellar has a border district, has said to you and the president, come. You need to see this.
Listen, I care about what's happening at the border. I'm in Guatemala because my focus is dealing with the root causes of migration. There may be some who think that that is not important, but it is my firm belief that if we care about what's happening at the border, we better care about the root causes and address them.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm rerunning that bite again because that's another one I'm going to pound into their face every time they bring up January 6th. And it's not just me. Even the so-called, as they like to say, the establishment media, or as I call them, state-controlled media, they're beginning to waffle. Axios apparently took a look at it, as did Slate, another leftist publication. And Slate had warned Joe Biden might be setting Harris up to fail by putting her in charge of the border crisis. Slate caution in their wordings, if you look at the assignments Kamala Harris has been given during her tenure as vice president, it's pretty easy to think that she's getting the short end of the political stick. Well, there's no surprise there. The Slate article continues, first, Harris was tasked with taking on immigration. After mostly staying in D.C. during the pandemic, she went on her first international trip aimed at helping Guatemala and Mexico stem migration. She's also been assigned to help protect voting rights are under attack across the country. It's hard to know what to call her job, why she's being saddled with the task she's been saddled with, and what this may portend for her future political prospects. Well, you know what it is. We talked about it previously. I mean, she was cheerful when Biden said, will you do this for me? She said, yes, sir, I'm ready to go. And then as she hung up from the call, she probably thought, get him. Axios saying that, listen, these stumbles by Harris during her first foreign trip, rekindling the debate from her presidential campaign about whether she, not her staff, is to blame. And I would add, is she capable? Not saying necessarily Biden is either, when you get down to it. But there is a survey out, according again to Slate, that Harris has a lower approval rating in her first 100 days than former Vice President Mike Pence. So she's trying to direct all attention away from any of these failures, and she's demanding the Senate pass the Equality Act to cancel the legal definition of biological sex, cater to gender ideology, designate protection for the unborn as, quote, pregnancy discrimination. Pregnancy, the discrimination, if you're trying to protect the unborn baby. This is where this woman wants to go, and she got a lot of leftists that will back her. But when it comes to really dealing with the issues that mean something to the what abortion obviously means something, but the one she's been assigned, she can't do anything. Oh, and by the way, you do know you cannot call a woman who's carrying a baby a mother. She's a birthing person. That's the latest, right? Coming up, are we losing any respect for this country anymore?
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up ting ting like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up ting ting like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, you know, expletives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and in some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this.
American flags, which is also disturbing. Again, the words of Mara Gay on the New York Times editorial board. Joining us is Mike Gonzalez with the Heritage Foundation. He does a lot of reports on assimilation and identity politics. Michael, glad to have you back on board with us, sir.
Yeah, very happy to be back on with you, Larry. I think it's been over a year.
It has been. I'm sorry. We've all been spread out. I couldn't talk to you because of COVID, you know, because I was afraid you might have it, so I couldn't do it. Hey, I've been looking at a piece that you did the other day that you were talking about that very thing, about how U.S. flags would be disturbing to an American. Kind of give the public a layout on what your thoughts were.
Well, I mean, it is actually, I find that disturbing. She found the flags disturbing. I find her disturbing. You know, it used to be that everybody could just rally around the flag. I mean, that was an expression, rally around the flag. So I don't really get what she – and I do not get is why did she think that people putting flags were saying, this is just for us, not for you?
That's an excellent point, by the way. And I was driving that home in the opening monologue. No one says that that flag's not for you as well. You're assuming that's not.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's in her mind. In fact, it's the opposite. The flag is what unites all of us. we have to be very careful in this country. We're a country with people from very disparate backgrounds. This is not the same thing as France or Portugal or England. We are a people comprised of many different peoples. That's the reason why we have to emphasize unity, our unity, what we have in common, the common American ideals, the common American creed, the people who are dividing us. This is why I wrote my book, The Plot to Change America, because the people who are dividing us with identity politics are playing with fire. This is super toxic anywhere, but it's especially toxic here.
You know, before you joined us, I also was talking about the G7 summit. I said every leader there is there for their country first, or they should be. And just being nationalistic, as they were labeling Trump, that suddenly had a bad meaning. Macron is there for France. He's not there for the U.S. or Britain. And Macron has already said that, you know, we want people coming to our country to assimilate, just like we have. Bring your cultures, bring your even your religion, and bring some of your thoughts, but don't come in here to transform us and change us. If that's what you like, stay where you are.
Right, exactly. I mean, but exactly is because we have to have a common creed. So I think what you just said is very important. Our ambassador to the UN, actually, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, one of her first remarks that she made after being appointed to that position by President Biden was to say what a bad country we were, how we had systemic racism.
Mm-hmm.
How we sent her there. She's there to defend us to China, to all our adversaries, to Russia, to Cuba, to Iran. She's there, but she's doing the opposite, Larry. All the Chinese ambassador has to do is mimeograph her remarks and then read them back. And if somebody says, no, the U.S. is not a bad – we're not a bad people. We're not a bad country. He could just say, well, actually, I'm quoting your ambassador.
Well, they start out – I mean, when they start like that, it reminds me of Obama. Every tour he made was an apologetic tour. You and a colleague from the Heritage wrote a titled piece, The Return of Blame America First. We're right back in the middle of that.
Right. In the case of Obama, it was the same thing. You know, his ambassador to the U.N., Samantha Power, had actually written a paper saying that the next American president had to go and apologize to the world
right. For
all the bad things that America did. So it's not surprising that the first thing Obama does when he goes overseas is to undertake an apology tour. And at least Biden didn't do this with this. I mean, he did a couple of other, gaffes, but he at least didn't do this. But his ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, oh, my goodness, she's there to defend us, Larry, not to say we're bad people.
Well, here's part of this, too, Mike. And folks, you're listening, Mike Gonzalez with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on identity, politics, assimilation issues, and so forth. And, Mike, your background is Cuban, right, originally? And you've been in the country for how long? You came, I forgot exactly when you came, at what age?
It's been close to half a century now, but don't forget that after I became an American, I became a foreign correspondent. So I actually spent 15 years overseas as a foreign correspondent.
Right, right.
Most of them about 10 years in Asia, about a similar time in Europe.
So you've seen you've seen this in other theaters. What I'm leading up to is the fact that and we saw it happening originally on the West Coast. You think, it's these West Coast idiots, but it permeates, especially now with the Biden-Harris team in the White House. And I know you saw the stories at one time that they were not allowed to even have the U.S. flag displayed in some California schools because for the Mexican children, as well, how they were classifying them primarily at that time, that they were disturbed and triggered and fearful. They needed a quiet space just because the U.S. flag is in their classroom.
But it just boggles the mind. So when, right after the Mexican-American War, when a lot of these lands had been loosely controlled by Mexico, because let's not forget that they were not really controlled by Mexico City, became U.S. territories, we had a common school system that actually assimilated the children of immigrants in the Northeast, in Boston, Chicago, New York.
Right.
The common school went to the Southwest to do this with Mexican Americans because they wanted to prepare you know, new people to the mores and thinking of Americans. We have gone completely. By the way, this continued for many decades afterward. When we had the Ellis Island period, the factories where they worked would undertake this job. They would teach. They would have night classes teaching English. This is the way we do things in America. These are our most important cherished principles, because we do have principles that we share. The top one is, you know, all men are created equal. When we have not lived up to that principle, we have faced many problems. When we have tried to live up to it, we have solved the problems. So it's a good principle. Now we see that principle challenged again with critical race theory. So, you know, we have, again, to repeat what I said, in a country such as America, you are quite right. My background is Cuban. Your background, I guess, would be Irish. My wife's background, Siobhan, she's Irish too. We have to stress the commonalities.
Yeah, and nobody says that you cannot have your language and your culture, but if you're going to live here, you want to assimilate and you know, be part of, and you should learn to speak the language of this country. I have the attitude that if I decide to move to France, that's what I should do, is I need to learn the French language. I need to understand their language and assimilate a little bit more. I'm not going over there to turn France into the U.S. of A. And if I don't like what is here at the USA, well, then certainly I shouldn't try to implant it over there in a different fashion. And if I do like the USA, again, either stay here or go there. But if you're going to go somewhere, you want to become part of the culture. You want to share what you have. But the problem with so many on the left, Mike, at this point, is they tell you, you can't have what you want. You have what we tell you you can have. Anything else, you're frightening and scaring children. We need safe rooms for everybody.
So, right, exactly. Two things on that. You're quite right that nobody is saying you can't like grandma's cooking anymore. Nobody's telling you. We live in a very laissez-faire country. Nobody's telling you what to speak at home or even in the streets. Nobody's telling you anything. You know, do not march on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Do not, you know, celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Nobody is saying that. I'm not saying that, just to make it clear. We all have. I am Cuban. I'm proud of my background. I like the history of my family, etc. What we are saying is that America is the only place, thank God for it, that actually welcomes a foreign-born person and say you can become an American.
Let me ask one question in the last 30 seconds here. You guys finished off that article and saying, "Am I embarrassed to speak for a less than perfect democracy? Not one bit. Find me a better one."
You know, that is, are we perfect? No, nothing on this, newsflash, nothing on this earth will be perfect ever.
Right.
Are we still the last best hope for man on earth, as Lincoln said? Absolutely. That is why the line out the door for people waiting to get in is so long.
And if we're so systemically racist, and if you come here, if you're a brown or yellow or black person, you're going to be mistreated constantly, then why do the numbers keep building? Because this is the country.
That is the supreme irony, right?
Yeah.
The same people that say we're a bad country that is systemically and structurally racist are the ones who want open borders. I don't get it. Are they sadists?
Makes no sense. Mike, as always, we appreciate it. We'll have to do it more often than as we have. We'll do it again, sir.
Thank you, Larry.
You bet. Mike Gonzalez with the Heritage Foundation. Speaking on this issue of supporting of America, respecting the flag, respecting what we want to see, the best of America, actor John Voight, you're going to hear from him when we continue.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
What is this, a race? A war? What? The left are okay with slurs. It's okay for Biden's son to use racist slurs. And no one says a word, not the media, no one. And why? I ask. It's what we all ask. Why? Why was it okay to beat down President Trump with cruel intention against his beautiful family? Why was it okay to constantly harass them for what they, the left, accused them of being racist when Biden's son is the lowest human being? A poor pity of a man who's not well, who's done wrong. My fellow Americans, this world has been turned upside down with negativity from media from the left. And this is a disgrace. A president of the United States whose son is the lowest form, and no one says a word. I will. I will because he, the force, God Almighty, has tried to give us all hope. And hope is real because, my friends, Trump was the only honest hope that the American people had. And this was taken away and replaced with a lower frequency than what truly the American people asked for. We must remember the truth and who stood with the American people. We must remember President Trump kept America safe with dignity, class, and he made America great. The Biden administration and his son have lowered this nation, and we must not allow these left-wing ones to get away with the justification that it's okay for Biden's son to be racist while the Trump family were harassed night and day for being loyal children of the 45th president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump. We will keep our faith that he will be back and turn this nation back to the greatest nation, the United States of America. God bless.
Those are the words of John Voight in a piece he decided to put up. I wanted to let you hear it in full, whether or not you agree with each and everything he said. The point being how he called them the mainstream media, as I've told you, it's state-controlled media right now, have continued to ignore the story about Hunter Biden and use of the N-word repeatedly. And you know Daddy Joe had to know about it, but they ignore it because it's damaging to Biden. And Governor DeSantis slammed big tech this last weekend over how they're censoring various things. They censor what happened about the virus leaking from a lab, never giving us a full answer. They have been massive amounts of power to shut things down. If they can shut the former president down, say you can't have your Facebook account, well, there you go. That's an example. Oh, and I got a notice. I got a notice, too, because of something I put up over the weekend. So a bunch of us were out on our normal Sunday Harley ride, and one of the bikes broke down. So we spent a lot of time fixing that one and finally got it going. And, you know, we're all going to help a guy. And he decided, well, I'm going to head back, not going to stay with you. And we get to another location and another bike breaks down. So we finally get that one started and get him back. And he said, well, I'm going to head on back. I'll catch you later. And I had put up, somebody had documented pictures of us all working on it on our, I'm not working, I'm looking at it. I don't... That sounds like a project. I don't do projects. Plus, I don't have that mechanical mind. I could sit there and watch. But I did say, you know what, next time, we'll just shoot them. Leave them beside the road. Somebody will find them. This, you recognize this being a joke, satire, or something, right? Yeah, obviously, we're not going to shoot a fellow just because their bike breaks down. Well, I got a notice from Facebook. Oh, you violate our code. You said shooting somebody. They don't recognize satire. It's okay when they do it, but they don't recognize it, or they don't recognize, all right, maybe it's a lame joke. I don't care whether you like it or not. I mean, you know what my intent was. So it makes me wonder if you use the word shoot in any fashion, is that one of those trigger words, no pun intended, that it suddenly raises flags? If I said, oh, shoot, on a tweet with, oh, my God, you're talking about shooting somebody. What if I said, let's all go shooting, and I know I'm going to the range or something? How does that, I mean, they're going to put this context around it that I never intended. I'll give you a perfect example. The Babylonian Bee is a publication dealing in satire. Satire. New York Times was making complaints about the Babylonian Bee peddling fake news. There's misinformation site. That's why they were labeling it. big tech all coming together, the New York Times, Babylonian Bee, that's a dangerous source of news. Finally, the Times confirmed, they're not trying to present anything as misinformation, it's satire. They denied they traffic in misinformation, and we understand and we agree now. The editor of the Babylonian Bee says, this is huge. New York Times using misinformation to smear us as being a source of misinformation. Not merely ironic, it's malicious. But they were getting away with it until you follow suit and say, you idiot, Babylonian Bee, not trafficking misinformation, it's satire. Can you spell the word? Doubt it. Coming up in the next hour, are we seeing some Democrats, maybe even Pelosi, showing some spine, a little backbone, and dealing with Congresswoman Omar, who links the U.S. to Hamas terrorists? Oh, and wait till you hear who else is complaining against her. Can't make this stuff up. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.